welcome to Open Door Baptist Church. We're just so glad you're here for our 2018 Christmas cantata called A Sign and a Promise. And we're all about celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what this is about today. So we hope this is a blessing to you. And I have some announcements. Well, first of all, if you're a visitor and you don't know who I am, my name's Bob Cratchit. I'm pastor here. That's what they call me. Pastor Dave DeLeon is what they call me around here. And we're just so glad that you came to celebrate this wonderful day with us. And we're just really wishing you a true, happy, and merry Christmas. I do have some announcements. For all of our regulars, we have no Wednesday night services this week, okay? We have our Christmas Eve service that begins at 5. Begins at 5 on Christmas Eve, Monday night. And you can still sign up to do special music for that, but there is no Christmas, there is no Wednesday night service. Let's see. Wanted to let you know that those of you who are really familiar with the Sherritts, they're a missionary family. We don't directly support them, and the missions committee would like to. So they're going to be presenting the Sherritts for missionary support on January 6th. All right, and that way we can get that decided before we go into our annual budget for 2019. Can't believe we're talking about 2019. This year came and went. Hey, no evening service tonight. Instead, it's Christmas caroling. If you'd like to go caroling with us, there's a sign-up sheet on the back. You can choose one of the four groups you'd like to go with. You don't have to be a member, necessarily, to go caroling with us, and we'd be glad to bring you along. And we got some folks we just like to sing to, okay? And this morning, we are not taking an offering. First of all, if you're a guest, we're not here to take money from you. We're here to offer something to you. And at Open Door Baptist Church, we are funded by the members, by the generosity and the giving of the members here. We're not going to do regular offering in light of our cantata. But we do know some of you have come prepared to give. And so we do have the nomination box in the foyer. That's also our love offering box. Just put it in there if you have one to give today, and we'll take care of that. And especially those of you who I know we've got some who are headed for Florida. We've got a few snowbirds here, and you're leaving after the morning service, and this is your last opportunity. Although, I don't know why you're leaving now. Starting yesterday, the days are getting longer. You're going to miss the best part if you leave now. So stick around, and or take me with you, please, one or the other. So yeah, we want to get on with our cantata. And again, we just hope that this is truly a blessing to you.
Children of God, the Lord God himself shall give you a sign. A bright star shall be made to shine over Bethlehem, marking the place where a virgin shall bring forth the child, the very Son of God. His name shall be called Emmanuel, Wonderful, Prince of Peace, and he shall reign in the name of God from everlasting to everlasting. Come ye, sons and daughters of the Father God, Come and follow the star to Bethlehem. Come and adore him. Hallelujah. Amen.
And when the time was right for the fulfillment of God's promise, he sent forth his messenger, the angel Gabriel. To Galilee, Gabriel was sent unto a village called Nazareth and into the presence of the maiden Mary, espoused of Joseph, a carpenter. And Gabriel spoke thus to Mary.
Mary, favorite of God, thou shalt bring forth the Son, whose name shall be called Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Mary was at first afraid, and though he spoke with authority, she doubted this messenger with his strange words. But when she had satisfied herself that Gabriel spoke only as a true messenger of God, Mary's soul was quieted. In awe and wonder, she lifted her face to the heavens and proclaimed, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. Be it according to thy word."
Thank you.
And when the time was right, excuse me, while Mary dwelt in the home of her espoused husband, it came to pass in those days of her waiting that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that every man should be taxed, each in the city of his ancestors. Thus Joseph, being of the house of David, set forth from his abode in Nazareth under the city of David, called Bethlehem. Journeying with Joseph was a young Mary in the final days of her fulfillment. The journey was long and hard. Progress was slow and painful. Many days, Joseph mused bitterly, many days Mary and I have traveled from our home in Nazareth. And for what? Merely to be counted and taxed because the great Caesar Augustus has ordered it from Rome? Eventually, weary and worn, they arrived in Bethlehem. As they searched for lodging, the answer was always the same. We have no room. No room, said they as they turned their back into their warmly lighted houses and closed the doors. Joseph stood alone in the darkening streets and knew not where to turn for shelter. They, walking along, came to an inn. Surely in this great house of many rooms there would be a bed for Mary. The inn is full. Not a room do I have to give, nor a bed, was the reply of the innkeeper. Heavy with defeat, Joseph turned away. 'Twere better they had stayed in the hills outside the city and sought shelter under the stars. Innkeeper called out to the couple, there is a place, a very poor place, but it is a shelter. It is quiet and away from the public eye. It is only the stable behind the inn. Mary slept a while, a peaceful sleep that eased her travel-tired body. Then she awoke to think wistfully of home. In Nazareth, she thought, their sturdy cottage was waiting for their return, a friendly fire on the hearth the flickering light of the polished lamp. And there, on the clean, swept earthen floor, stood the tiny cradle, hand-carved by the skilled and gentle hands of Joseph. And in the cradle lay the soft linens, prepared by Mary herself, and put there to await the coming of her baby. Yes, in the sanctity of their home in Nazareth, everything had been prepared for the birth of the child. But here in this strange place, Bethlehem, there was no room for him. There was no room for him at the inn. No cradle, only a manger. No clothes, save the swaddling bands and the tiny soft cloth that Mary had thoughtfully packed with her own and Joseph's clean linens. A smile crossed Mary's face as her closed eyes looked upon the hand-carved cradle by the hearthside at home in Nazareth. The cradle of all cradles. The cradle that was to rock the world with its powerful yet simple message of love. A love so great that it could transform ruin into beauty, hating into loving, and wasted sands into a fertile garden. And Mary smiled, thinking of her baby's cradle. There was no cradle in Bethlehem for the baby Jesus, only a manger. But it did not matter. His cradle was the world. The babe in a manger, God's gift to the world, a sign of hope and peace for all time. Luke 2:8-9. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. The shepherds, watching their sheep, trembling in fear, fell prayerfully to their knees. As they knelt thus, an angel appeared and spoke to them, saying, "Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And the angel sang a hymn of praise to the newborn king. Then suddenly a multitude of angels appeared and praised God in the highest. The shepherds, no longer afraid, said one to another, "Let us arise and go find the Savior of whom the angels sing." Leaving one of their number to care for the sheep, they followed the star to the place where the baby lay. They fell upon their knees and worshiped him. Far from the east, wise men scanned the skies with learned eyes. They sought the bright star foretold long ago in the days of their fathers, the bright star promised by God himself to mark the place where they would find a newborn child, God's own son, who would be the Savior of the world. Eagerly the wise men sought, and joyfully they found the bright rays of the star guiding them to the appointed place. "Come," they said, "come, let us make haste and find the Savior before it is too late."
Thank you.
Matthew 2, 9, 10, and 11. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The wise men brought lavish gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and laid them before the child. Like the shepherds, the wise men paid homage to the child. And when they departed, they made known abroad the story of the child, born to be the Prince of Peace.
Mark ye well, O children of God, the Lord himself has fulfilled his promise to you. His name is called Emmanuel, Wonderful and Prince of Peace, and he shall reign in the name of God the Father from everlasting to everlasting. He shall gather you unto himself as a shepherd gathers his flock, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Come ye sons and daughters of God the Father, come and adore him. Arise and praise his name.
Come, all you faithful. Of Christmas, I hope you think of children a lot, because there's one child you really ought to be thinking of. And when it comes to parenting, what do all of we parents agree is neglect? That's when we leave a child unattended, right? And some parents have inadvertently done that, leaving a baby in a bathtub or in a car. When you have a baby in the midst, you just don't leave him there, right? Yeah, that's exactly what people the world over do with the baby Jesus Christ once a year at Christmas time. The world acknowledges baby Jesus in the manger and then walks away and leaves him there. Well, folks, this is not what Jesus did with you. It's not what he does with you. Okay, what the Lord starts, he finishes. He follows through. And that means with you as well. First of all, Jesus created you. Colossians 1:16 in the Bible says all things were created through him and for him. He made you. He made you to love, and he made you to actually live with joy and with him. Well, Adam and Eve introduced sin into the human race. And sin is just anything, any thought or deed or word that contradicts God and his perfect holiness. And the scripture says all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Everybody. That means you. That means me. You sin and thereby have broken off that wonderful fellowship with God by which he created you to have. But Jesus didn't just leave you there. He also came to this earth, yes, in the form of a boy child. It says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 16, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." He came to this earth in the form of a child, a little baby. And this is God Almighty who did this. This took great humility to humble himself and take on the form of man and be born as a baby for our sake. But praise the Lord, he didn't just stay there. He grew. Because he also came to teach and to lead. John chapter 14, verse 25 in the Bible. Christ said, "These things I've spoken to you while being present with you." So he came to teach, and he did. And he spent at least 3 years teaching and leading. But he didn't just stay there either. Because teaching and leading was not the Lord's ultimate goal in coming to this earth. He also came to die. Romans chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible says, "For the death that he died to sin once for all." It was not an accident or a tragedy or a martyrdom that Jesus Christ hung on the cross. That was his purpose. He came because we're separated from God due to sin, and we can't pay for that. We can't dig our way out of that hole, so he came to pay for our sin for us as only he could. And that's what the cross was all about. See, you can't really understand and appreciate the manger till you lift your eyes and look at the cross beyond. He did what we could never do. If he didn't, he would be no different than any other self-proclaimed deity. Because he came to die, and he did die, and he was buried in a grave, but he didn't just stay there like so many others are today. Everybody who's ever claimed to be God and died is still dead. But Jesus Christ resurrected, 1 Corinthians 15:4, that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Did you know there's over 500 witnesses at once who saw Jesus after he rose from the dead? He rose from the dead and stayed on earth for 40 days, about 40 days. And there's a record of this. There's witnesses to this. He spent time on earth as a witness and a testimony to many. But you know, he didn't just stay there either. Because he ascended back to heaven. Acts 1:9 says, "While they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." He went up to his rightful place in heaven, where he is and forever will be king. But you know, Christ won't stay there either, because he's coming back. Acts chapter 1 verse 11 says, "This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner." In other words, he's coming back. Why? Because Jesus won't leave you there. He won't leave you. Salvation from this horrible separation from God. That's a terrible place to be, separated from God, which is where everybody is by nature. It's a lousy place to be because if unremedied, it will be an eternal separation in hell. But God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Remember, a son is given unto us, it says in Isaiah 9. And Jesus came to save. He came for you. He came to offer himself the greatest gift you could ever receive. And salvation comes strictly by faith in Jesus Christ, trusting in Christ. So really, Christmas is a celebration of the King in heaven who came to earth as a little baby. But don't leave him there. Don't walk away, or you're going to miss the whole reason he came. He came for you. He died for you. He rose for you. And forevermore, he lives for you. Trust him as the only way to have peace with God Almighty forevermore, and he will never leave you. Not now, not forever. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, then I encourage you, do that where you sit. You can simply tell the Lord, "Father, I believe what your son came for. Thank you for giving me your son as a gift of salvation. And scripture says you'll be saved just like that. I guarantee you it'll be the best Christmas you've ever had. And for those of us who have been the Lord's for a long time, I accepted the Lord in his free gift of himself many years ago. For those of us, we continue to grow in our joy of Christmas. And I hope that you will too. As you think about the words that were sung, the Word of God and what it says, and the truth of Jesus, and the fact that, friend, he won't leave you. So don't leave him in the manger. Father in heaven, as we pray, I pray that you work on hearts, everybody's heart. Everybody here needs to make some decision, either a decision to finally trust you and stop trusting in any other way to have peace with you, but trust in you and your son, Jesus Christ. Or maybe we need to make a decision to those of us who already know you, Lord, to become more like your son, day in and day out. Trust you with things we'd rather not, and to live by faith, not by sight. May this be just a joyous Christmas, and Lord, we look forward to your son coming back. May it even maybe be before this year is over. And if not, we'll continue on until he does return, because we know he's never broken a promise. He will not leave us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, we're going to close with the rest of this hymn, O Come All You Faithful. However, I did want to say that our bell choir was started by Amy Brown almost 16 years ago, and she has been the main bell choir director that entire time without a break. She has never stopped directing the bell choir for almost 16 years. She's been doing this, and I don't know if we're getting better, but she sure is, and we're just so thankful for our director. I'm thankful for everybody who had a part in today's service, and I'm thankful for you who came. But I'm going to ask Amy Brown, our choir director, if she'd just come up here and just accept a little token from us on the choir to say thank you and we love you. So,
yeah. Hey, while we're at it, you'd be disappointed if I didn't do this.
Yes, I would.
Could the pastors and their families please come up here? There's another gift that God gave us. When Jesus went back to heaven, Ephesians 4:11 says God himself gave us a gift. Well, he gave us the Holy Spirit, but he gave us the gift of a pastor. Each local church has their own gift of a pastor, and that pastor is suited to meet their needs so that they can be prepared to do the work of the ministry, so that you can do the work of the ministry. And our pastors have been a great gift to us to do the work of the ministry. I just wanted to acknowledge that and give you nothing. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. The people of their own free will, at our suggestion, of course, have been giving the deacons money behind your backs. That's heavy. And let's see, we got the Browns, $1,190. The Dalyons, $1,190.
Thank you, Open Door.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We are so blessed here, and this is just above and beyond. Thank you. Pastor Paul is going to close us in the last two stanzas of O Come All You
Faithful. All right, last two stanzas. Turn in your hymn books to 249. It's right in your hymn book. Hymn 249. Sing the second and the third.
Oh,
thank you for your singing, and thank you so much, Open Door, for your generosity. It is a pleasure to serve you. Merry Christmas, everyone. I'll trust that you'll come back to our Christmas Eve service tomorrow night. Merry Christmas. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who was born in that manger. We're so thankful for what he did for us on the cross by dying in our place. We pray that there's somebody here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that today, by faith, they would believe that Jesus died, buried, and rose for them. We thank you that, Lord, he didn't stay buried, Lord, that he rose again from the dead 3 days later, and that he's one day coming back. And we look forward to that day, and we thank you so much for this opportunity to worship you this morning. In Jesus' name.